Man, I just feel like, let's just give a shout for Jesus this morning. Can we get a little crazy? A little shout for Jesus? Come on, a little bit. He's so good. What a king we serve, amen? We just have a few minutes this morning just to share, and then we're going to have a time of prayer with you guys, and we're going to head into some worship. But on this entire tour, God has been speaking really a similar word over all of the churches in America and to us. And before we went on our trip, the Lord really, time and time again in intercession, would speak this word of urgency. We believe we're living in an urgent hour. Does anyone believe that? And we believe that great revival and great awakening is coming, but there's also persecution and shaking coming. And many of us, I believe many of us are in that place of this past year has been a time of shaking. And this is a time where we say, man, we're really going to go for it, or we're going to kind of hide away. And I believe throughout all of history, it was when the church actually got activated and said, listen, we're no longer going to be spiritually apathetic. We're going to enter in. We're going to engage. We're going to see what God would do through the church and fulfill the Great Commission in our generation. There was an ownership over every Christian, whether it's from the Moravians or the Great Awakenings. There was this thing that happened that every Christian was catalyzed and awakened and commissioned to fulfill the Great Commission. And I believe that came through an infilling of the Holy Spirit, that came through an encountering of the worth of Jesus. That we said, everything in my life that I knew before I encountered Jesus is actually considered nothing compared to knowing him and following him. Many of you guys know this verse out of Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shames, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And I believe that God is bringing that word back into the church and putting him at the center of every single thing that we do. That it's not a time to be, that the fear of man must leave and the courage of Jesus must come again. Amen. And when that happens, we say, look, I used to live for money and power and prestige and my thing. And now I'm living completely for him. I'm throwing off everything that would hinder me from running that race. Any busyness, you know, it says, a famous quote said, if Satan can't get us to run away from God, he will make us too busy to encounter him. And I believe a lot of us, George Barna just put out a thing that the average Christian is spending 2 minutes in the Bible a day. Man, we need to engage Scripture again. We need to engage Jesus on a daily basis. If we think we're going to lazily slip into revival, we're crazy, right? And so this morning, my prayer is not that we just have a quick flash in the pan moment. That was great. But God, where do I really stand right now? If I look at my life, is Hebrews 12:1 really engaged in my life? If I considered everything in my life, and I said, Lord, I will lay down anything that is getting in the way of me encountering you and making you known. Because guys, our whole lives come down to two things. Whatever life's pursuit you have, whatever thing that you do, it comes down to two things. Knowing him and making him known. It comes down to that encountering who he really is. And I believe that the Church of Acts, encountering the resurrection of Jesus, everything in their life changed. Everything in their lives said, look, our life isn't about our lives. We'll sell the land. We'll do whatever it takes. Everyone will engage in the Great Commission. We have to do this. There was an urgency of the gospel. And I love even the Moravians. There was this urgency. Look, we have to go to the unreached. We have to go to the people that don't know him. Because guys, everyone in here is going to spend eternity in heaven or hell, right? Everyone that you know is going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. And I pray that we're not so apathetic or callous that we don't really think about that. I pray that God would soften our hearts, because the Lord of the harvest and Jesus is in the water right now. He's out there. He's saving. He's drawing all men to himself. But our job is just to clearly explain the gospel and encounter him in that way. And so if our hearts have grown callous this morning, If our hearts have been too busy or we're too stressed out with the worries of this life and the busyness of life, I pray that this morning there would be a centering of the Lord in our lives. And we say, listen, whatever happened before, Jesus, I'm bringing you to the center of what you want to do in my life. And I love this quote. It says, when we see the worth of Jesus, we will no longer measure out what we will sacrifice for him. When we see his worth, when we know who he is really, not just an historical figure, not just some guy I learned about when I was in Sunday school, but I know him, everything changes. We say, it's all yours. He says, you have to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. Why could he say that? Because number one, he was God. Number two, he knew that actually on the other end of that, there was so much greater fruit of our lives when we give our lives to him. Amen. So let's just bow our heads this morning. And you guys, I pray that you've clearly seen that the gospel story has been from the beginning of time all the way till this morning. That God had a perfect plan. We fell away from God. We sinned against God. And there's no one here that is good enough to get into heaven, good enough to enter into his presence. That wrath and judgment was meant for us. It was meant to come upon us. But instead of God pouring that upon us, 2,000 years ago, he was poured upon his son. That he who knew no sin became a curse so that we might become the righteousness of God. This morning, I pray that the gospel is no longer something that you think, well, that's a nice story, but man, I actively need to encounter that gospel. That this morning, I'm going beyond just knowing about Jesus, but I want to know him personally. I don't want my grandfather's faith or my mother's faith or my father. I want to know him myself. And it says, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. He knew every single thing that you would ever do. And he still took the cross. He took the pain of the cross, the whipping, the beating, the hanging on the cross till his lungs collapsed. He was thinking about you on the cross. He endured that for you. You have been paid for with a mighty price. And our job this morning is to respond and say, God, my life is yours. My life is yours. I need your forgiveness. I need your mercy. And I want to step in and give you my life because you are worthy. I'm not giving you my life for success. I'm not giving you my life for prestige or wealth. I'm giving you my life because you're worthy. Because you've done it. You paid that price 2,000 years ago. That whoever believes in him will have eternal life. And the greatest treasure of the Christian is not necessarily that we'll go to heaven one day and not have to go to hell, but it is knowing him now. It's knowing him today. It's knowing him in his fullness right now. Because we have full access to that because of the cross. Amen? So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you this morning, and you want to say a simple prayer with me to go beyond just knowing about Jesus, but man, I want to give my life to him. I want to follow him and say yes to him this morning. That gift is available absolutely free of cost this morning because he has paid the price to say, God, my life is yours. And it doesn't matter what you've done or what background you came from or what you did last night. The cross was enough for you. The cross was enough for you this morning. And he is available to you right now. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't care how young or old you are, Jesus desires relationship with you. And he would have died just for you. That's how valuable you are to God. So on the count of three, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. We're going to pray together. And then we're going to have just a few minutes of prayer before we head into worship. But I pray that you would consider, if you stood before the Lord tonight, man, do I know him and does he know me? Pray that that question would come to the center of our hearts right now. So on the count of three, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Just raise your hand this morning if that's you. I want to give my life to him. I want to surrender my life to him. It's the best thing we ever can do. Amen. It is eternal. The gift is free this morning. We thank you, Jesus, for the gift of the cross. So we're going to pray together this morning. And let's all just pray together. We love to do that on our tours as a family of God, welcoming these ones into the family. Because we are all sinners saved by grace. We're going to pray with them as we wrap our arms and put our arms around their shoulder and say, we're with you. Because this is the beginning, amen? This is not the end, this is the beginning. So we're going to pray right now, just a simple prayer of confession of our need for Jesus. And I pray when our hearts are genuine, the Lord is going to come in. He's going to begin to change our lives even now. So let's just pray together this morning. Can we just say, dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and change me. I want to live for you for the rest of my life. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for saving me. I will live the rest of my life for your glory. I believe that you died and rose again. And Jesus, I believe that you are God. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for loving me first. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give it up for those guys. Come on. Big shout. Thank you, Jesus. And I know many of you guys know this verse, but throughout all of Scripture, every verse of the 66 books of the Bible, one time it says heaven rejoices. It's when someone repents and gives their life to Jesus. And I love that heaven is rejoicing probably a trillion times louder than this, because they have a greater understanding of what just happened. But I want to encourage you that this is really the beginning. This is the time to step into relationship. Where do we go from here? We begin to dive into Scripture. We begin to dive into relationship with Jesus. We don't put him on the side and say, man, when I need something materialistic or when I have a little bit hard time. No, he says, pray without ceasing. He is available to us on a daily basis all the time. He is way more excited to actually spend time with us than you could ever imagine. He's always there waiting. He's always there waiting, always available, always ready to change our lives and begin to shape us into his likeness. And I pray that we wouldn't take that gift, say maybe I'll set it on the back burner for a couple years, but engage it and begin to share your faith, begin to go out and begin to pray. And I promise you, the great thing is we don't serve an old wooden idol, amen? We don't serve an old historical figure. We serve a living God. A living God, the Holy Spirit that can live in us. He said it's better that the Holy Spirit would come than him be here physically. So let's engage that. What a treasure it is to know Jesus here. And I love A.W. Tozer. He said, we're going to step one foot inside of eternity and see all the riches we could have had in Jesus here. The gift is now. It's ready to receive in your life. And my prayer is that even today, we would take an account of everything in our lives. Say, is this drawing me closer to God? Is this busyness? Is this app on my phone drawing me closer to God? Is it something that's drawing me closer to my purpose in him, to intimacy with God? Because he says, listen, when you take that stuff out and you begin to fill it with Jesus, it says, if you lose your life for me, what? Then you'll find out what your purpose actually is. Amen? So I just want us to stand together right now, if we could. And we're going to do something. If we get a little bit crazy, can we get like 2.5 out of 10 crazy? Is that okay? I'm not going to get too crazy. Don't worry. But if you're around your family and or around someone you feel comfortable, can you put your hand on their shoulder? If you don't feel comfortable, that's okay. Put your hand. If not, and you're a little bit scared of COVID still getting you, but if you're around your family, that's okay. And we want to pray over each other right now. We don't have time for the team to come out, but I just believe that when we begin to pray for each other, God begins to ignite something in us, amen? And so what I want you guys to pray over each other is that God would ignite a new fire in our hearts. To say, listen, I might have been a little bit calloused, because if we're honest, sometimes we get calloused. Sometimes we get too busy for God. But this morning, God would bring a fresh fire upon our hearts, upon this church, upon this body. Because it's not just about the pastor, it's about all of us, right? It's about all of us engaging with the Holy Spirit. Pray that the Holy Spirit would wake us up. Pray that he would engage us. And I pray that even that God would stamp eternity in our eyes. We would begin to think about, God, how can you use me?